It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
On the field, you're in Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA People Studios of Phoenix.com. All right, I started to get sick. It was like yesterday, night before last, and I go, you know what, I think I'm going to, you know, do my oil oregano and a little zinc, this, that. But I got colloidal silver and those atomizer spray things. And inhaled it. You know, I didn't even think of that, getting the silver in my lungs. And I think I skipped it. I think I'm going to be okay. Bring on Corona, man. I'm like, you know, let's do it. You just got to be healthy, I think, is the only way we're going to survive this thing. How's that going for you guys in Japan there, Mr. James Corbett?
Fine. It's going fine. I think other than the 700 people they trapped on that ship to all get sick, I think there's like 100 cases in the country outside of that, out of 130 million people or whatever it is. Oh, no, we're all going to die. Actually, no, we're probably not going to die. I'm going to go out and I'm going to make the bold prediction. And this may be silly. And if I'm wrong, please come back from the dead and sue me. But I'm going to say, whoever you are listening to this right now, you are not going to die of coronavirus. I'm just going to go out there and right now. So stop freaking out about it, because the freak out is what gives they, them, those the power. And that is the way worse than this disease.
So you're saying there's a chance, though.
Yeah. Fair enough. One in ten.
They're saying there's a chance. You know, I've been through this so many times that, I mean, they're really amping it up. And, you know, sometime, someday it's going to be, and we at the top of Freeman's Phoenix up there somewhere, I got the stats, and I'm going, you look at the stats, and I'm going, God, that looks like the flu, you know? I'm
to be fair, I don't trust any of the
numbers. Yeah, I don't believe anything.
That lie about everything, but from everything that we know, that what's being reported and what we can see, it is a disease that may kill you if you're 70 plus years old. And that seems to be the death profile of this. People who presumably already have existing conditions and are particularly sensitive. Not even children, in fact, are even less.
That was one thing I noticed. There's been no deaths under 10 or something. You know, I'm going, well, okay, so I'm not that worried, but they needed the cover, man. You know, the economy, all these numbers started before coronavirus. These are all these numbers, every Baltic Dry Index and all kinds of financing stuff and money transfers and blah, 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 blah. It was winding down way before. So I don't know what do you think they're covering up for, James?
The usual. Economic collapse, but of course everything else. I'm going to write about this in the Forecaster this weekend. It's amazing the number of agenda items that get ticked off by a pandemic freakout like this. Again, regardless of whether it's a bioweapon or it's natural or whether it's going to kill all of us or it's going to kill hardly anyone, it doesn't matter. It lets them tick all these just different agenda items. One of them clearly is, hey, this economy, which was doing so well and hitting records after record on the stock market. And then it just suddenly fell out because of coronavirus. And that was what ruined the global economy. It wasn't ours.
That's what it was. That's what it was. You know, I want to talk about, you know, some more fun stuff. Biggest thing, advice I got the audience, Donna and I, we knew this was coming, you know, and people around, they're just, it's flu stuff. So I go, you know, it's a good time to get stocked up again, and we know what to get. We're old people. Oil of oregano, some zinc, you get the, you know, this supplement and that supplement, vitamin C, blah, 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 blah. So I go, you know, and there's the mask and the gloves. And I go, I don't think you're going to get away from this. I think you just better survive it. Just save the money on the mask and gloves and get some more or whatever the heck. So I'm, you know, an elderberry. I mean, you know, all that crap, you know, over the years that you know to get. And all at 19, I didn't even get this sick. And I didn't even get sick. No fever, you know, sore throat. You know, I use the colloidal silver stuff. That, so I, you know, I'm think we're going to be okay. The thing is, it's the fear. And they've been using this over and over through my life. It's been like, it's like an average of every 8 years or something. It's, they got it on a cycle. They need, you know, some sales or something. And I'm just, and they're going to be mandating, you're going to have the Wuhan freaking vaccine a year from now because you don't want to die, do you, or something. So anyway, blah, blah, blah.
It's coming. It's coming. And hey, yeah, let's just remind people, swine flu, it was about one decade ago, right? And they had people literally lining up and clamoring for the vaccine. Why? It was less deadly than the regular flu. It was a total.
It was less deadly than the vaccine.
Clamoring for the vaccine, which itself was not effective. Surprise, surprise. So, yeah. It's just amazing what they can get people to desire.
Yeah, we're doing the lovebuslibertytour.com. Go, you know, we'll start. You can go check that out. But we're on this vaccine thing, man. We're going to have us some fun. But I tell you what I wanted to talk to you about. I was really excited. One, you got to hang out in Acapulco with all the guys and everything. Sorry I wasn't there. I know you guys are having fun. And, you know, you got to interview Ron Paul right during the middle of all this about, you know, the Fed. I mean, what up, man? What we got to do? When's it going to happen? You know, tell us what your impression was being able to talk to him like that.
That was good. It was in some ways the fulfillment of, I guess, a 13-year-long interview request. Because back in 2007, when I first started getting into this and I first found out about Ron Paul, and I remember seeing one of his first early videos was just some kid in a dorm room interviewing Ron Paul. Like, it was back before Ron Paul was anyone, right? No one knew who he was. So he was doing, like, interviews with college kids in their dorm room. It was just that kind of thing. So I'm like, hey, well, maybe he'll do an interview with me. I'm nobody. So I put in an interview request, and guess what? I didn't hear back from the campaign, which was taking off by that point. But 13 years later, hey, I get to go interview him in Acapulco. Why not? And so I only had 15 minutes with him. What are you going to ask Ron Paul about? Clearly, the Federal Reserve.
So what's your impression of his confidence on the issue? It's here we go. It's unwind. I mean, what, you know, did you go, you just both nodded each other and go, yeah, well, here we are, you know, it's going to happen. Or you get any enlightenment from him?
Yeah, I guess I'm surprised at the way I was surprised by something that he had said at the conference when he was giving his speech. He had said something about people talking about the movement in, you know, what kind of congressional thing can be done to end the Fed or whatever. And he says, we don't need that because it's going to end. And that's something I needed to rehear, I think, to understand. Yeah, of course, it isn't a political thing that's going to happen through some sort of act of Congress or legislation or something. It is going to end because it is mathematically unsustainable, which, of course, brings to my mind, well, of course, they know that and they're preparing for the next thing. That's always the concern, I think, when you talk about
you that. Know, you know, they had audit the Fed was like the thing. I don't give a crap. I wouldn't believe any piece of paper they produced anyway, you know. Exactly. They're in the Fed. I don't care about that either. I want ignore the Fed. So anything that we did, it was always ignore the Fed, ignore the Fed. I just don't care because I know that it's going to be like that. It's just going to be a repudiation of the whole freaking thing. I don't know where it's going to go or what, but you were at the place on Acapulco. So, tell me about the flavor you got there. You went to the first one. I met you there at the first one back years ago, number one. This is number six, seven, eight, something like that. And the flavor of it and the audience and the people and, you know, the beach and everything. Tell me about your time before you go, man.
Yeah, well, I wish it was just the time for vacation and relaxing, but I was there for a grand total. I was actually there for like 4 days and then a day of travel back, front and back. So it was just a whirlwind for me, and I was jet lagged through a lot of it. So I'm not sure I was all completely there, but no, it was like the first one. I mean, it's just good to actually meet people in real life and realize there are names and faces and people behind these screen names that I see every day. And of course, always colorful characters, etc. And I got to meet your man, Tim.
Tim, the Liberty Advisor. Did you see his presentation or one of them?
I didn't, because he was presenting at the exact same time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He had a few, but yeah, no, he calls it. He gets a lot of business out of this. It's like, he, you know, for a young guy, he's a smart kid. Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, I heard from a few people who were at his speech that he absolutely killed it and they loved it. But that made me wonder, well, why weren't you at my speech?
right. Well, you know, everybody has their flavor. You know, I seen the video of him doing that, but I didn't see, because he got it from his own. He sets up his own rig and everything. You know, have you been able to see your speech? Do you have access to it? Are they selling it? What are they doing?
I've heard they're going to be putting it up quicker than usual this year. But
too late. They're already late. They need it now.
Mind. When it comes out, it comes out. It's not, my speech is not like time limited. It's not time sensitive. So if it comes out next week, great, or next month.
Well, I'm glad you got to meet a lot of the guys and everything. You know, the what do you think the future is of this philosophy as it's being advocated? You know, it's kind of waxes and wanes. I've been, you know, like after 30 years, you start to see how, you know, what stays true, what goes, what does it, what tries to latch on, what doesn't make it, what always is there. What do you think the theme there, that's like, it's a continuation of the years you've been doing this? You'd like to see that thread. Ah, there's that thread. It's not going away. What would that be?
That's a good question. Especially because that's such a select crowd, right? I mean, of course, 99.99999% of the world is statist. But even amongst my own audience, 98% of my audience is statist. So to actually just be hanging around with other anarchists is an exceptionally unusual time. So I'm not sure I can really take anything away from that, other than to say, I didn't attend the crypto conference really at all. I saw one presentation there, which was a great presentation. I might have him on in the future. But the sense that I got, I did peek my head in a couple of times, and the sense that I got is very much what you've noticed before. It's an investment opportunity, and how do we make money out of this, rather than the principle of pirate money. Doesn't seem people are that excited about pirate money. They're just excited about money. And how can we turn this into dollars? Ugh.
Yeah. I know what you mean. And the people, as time has gone on, I've been fortunate to, you know, interview and talk to a lot of, and you can see who the real visionaries are, you know, and I'm willing, that's why, you know, I'll buy that, you know, 3 cent crypto or that 12 one or whatever now, because I'm going, what's the promise? You know, what do they even understand what the freaking problem is? You know, are they trying to fix that? Because I think in the future it's going to be solutions to these big problems, and when you have a solution to the big problems, you know, it's going to get adopted. You may not even get credit for it or any of the money, but it's going to get adopted, you know? So yeah. I'm always wanting to show that there's a market for the right things that I want. That's how I get what I want.
Yeah, exactly right. Imagine that. Free market principles actually work. You put your money where your mouth is, and you invest in what you think is important. Absolutely. Rather than what you think is going to make you monetarily better off in counted in fiat dollars.
Well, what's the dividend on your stock when people donate to you?
Sorry?
What's the dividend on your stock when people donate to you? They get anything back? They get a check?
Monetarily? Nothing. Yeah, exactly. I talked about this recently in Questions for Corbett. What's behind the paywall, where the answer is nothing, essentially? I have a subscriber newsletter, but you can read the editorial for free anyway. So I don't keep information behind the paywall. And for anyone who scratches their head and says, well, why would I subscribe? That's my whole point. Like, yeah, don't subscribe. If you're looking for some sort of special hidden access to information, I don't do it that way.
Well, how do you interface? I mean, some people, you know, it's like, hey, you get... You're a patron at whatever level, you get to dictate whatever freaking documentary of, oh my God, you know. How do you interface with people? Do they have a good idea or don't bother me or what?
I just don't have time to interface with people, to be honest. As I did an interview with Josh Sigurdsson, World Alternative Media, when I was there. And as I explained on air there, I have an interview with him. I think I have an email from him. I think I said it was 3 or 4 years old. Actually, I think it was probably 5 years old.
Yeah.
I saw your email in my inbox for 5 years. And I literally, it's not that I'm ignoring it. I have been meaning to reply to it. I never got around to it. Now it's buried under tens of thousands of other emails. I'll never see it again. I just don't have time to interact with people. And I get the angry emails from people. I wrote you 3 days ago and you haven't written me back. And
like, you know, I just got.
I even bothered to read what you're writing. You do not understand how much email I get.
I just got. I do a lot of deleting too, and because I'm, you know, you're just trying to get through it, and I usually try and separate it by, you know, subject and stuff. But I just got a voicemail today from a guy that sent me something about the Civil War. I was looking for occupancy. You know, that may it please the crown, and I get to live on my own freaking land, butthead. So when that happened, he said, yeah, it was a civil right. Well, I sent you the stuff. You know, he left me a message, and I'm going, well, I saved that. I got to call him back because I go, I know I missed that one, you know. So it's like it's so much, but there's all these different ways to communicate, and we've resisted it. And now we're starting to pick one for doing our trip thing. And it looks like we're going to be working with Float. They're going to allow us to, we stream already. They will go ahead and it's archived. Well, I need it to also be able to be embedded. And I need my email dispatch to go up as one interactive PDF. So you don't have like 70, oh my God, you know, and do that. You work with me on these things and you're there forever. And if you sell out to Google, you some bitch, after I'm doing all this and working kind of, you know, a little something for the home team. Because damn it, you know, you guys always get good. And then that's when they buy you, you know. So I'm going, you do that with us. We'll pimp you. So we're working on that. Donna's posting it. So there's a place now, and it has a Patreon kind of thing, and it has this thing and that thing and chat thing and the, you know, all that crap. So I'm going, okay, if we can get one that's out of the system, if we can get, that's what I was saying, we're here to tell you we're over there. So I'm going, all right, we'll go do this over there thing. I need that kind of, Freeman's Phoenix, we're this close to being hell, where social media would just do it anyway, you know? But I need this to be like the free market thing. I want them to see the power. I send them letters of interactions I have with other people in business and so on, what they need. Yeah, we need this. Or people that send, yeah, my company that, and my movement this, or something. I send it to them, and I go, look, what are you guys waiting on? I'm like, holy crap. Don't you see there's a market for this? So once that happens and it blows up, then I'm like, I quit being such a butt about it.
Yeah, well, we got to make what we want happen. And if you can't personally program the thing that's going to do what you want, then you got to support the people who can do that.
Right.
And that's the way this works.
Yeah, did you meet anybody with talent? You know, say, hey, man, I can whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. There's someone I'm probably going to be interviewing. That was the one speech I attended at CryptoPopo. It was a great speech. I felt like it was right up my alley, which means that probably everyone else in the room was bored or right. Zoning out. But I was like, wow.
This what is was awesome. He talking about?
Essentially about information and the matrix and decentralizing law and how we have to get at a deeper level beyond the non-aggression principle into sort of an even more fundamental level. I'm going to have to rewatch that presentation because it covered so many different things that I'm fascinated by.
Awesome. I'm glad you were inspired. You know, was there some big breakout thing happened there? Is there, you know, anybody parachute into the, you know, the pool or something? You know, anything strike your memory?
I heard on your show, I heard Tim talking about Danny Sessoms getting pushed into the pool. I don't know.
Oh. He kept stepping on his broke toe or something.
Like, yeah, so he really? Kind of. Danny?
I know. Danny, he was just having fun or something. But and Tim knew that he had a waterproof phone, so, and he was in the bathing suit. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, whatever. But no, there's always. Did you go to the turtle thing?
I didn't. No.
Oh, you missed out, man.
Yeah. I was invited to so many things.
I know. Of course you were. You know, I'm glad you got to go and have fun. You know, when you came back while you were gone, did the atmosphere change from the time you left, even a few days, to come back with all the, you know, disease, you're all going to die stuff on the plane and everything?
No, but I did notice it when I was on my way there. The first time it even entered my mind was when I got to the airport in Tokyo, and I see people walking around with masks, and you see Asian people walking around with masks. You know, it's a Tuesday, like, no big deal. Right. But when I saw the foreigners walking around with masks, I'm like, oh, right. Yeah, oh, I'm supposed to be scared. Right.
You know, is there fear? I mean, are they amping it? I paid attention. I mean, I'm paying attention. We have a lot of stories about it. We're trying to, you know, follow. I'm just going, God, who do you believe, man? It's so all over the map. Right. Yes. And I've seen this kind of thing before.
It's definitely the number one news story, and they're definitely pumping it. But I don't know.
We live in a post-coronavirus world.
Yeah.
Same kind of 9/11 stuff.
There are going to be real effects from this, regardless of the health effects. There are going to be real economic effects. You do not quarantine millions of people and shut down entire sectors of the Chinese economy without it having profound and real economic ramifications. That is coming, and that is something to take very seriously.
It's already happened. 95% of car sales done in China. Just shut down. Yeah. Next. Tesla, the Gigafactory, just closed for a week or so. Yeah. Just next. You can't have this kind of stuff. Unless there's real, you know, one of the conspiracy, God, I hate to even say it. You know, there's so many of them, but one, they were thinking this was a cover up for a nerve gas toxin something leak of the special place there. As soon as I hear that stuff, I go, you know, nothing surprises me anymore, but it's just as doesn't surprise me anymore that you guys are just lying about everything. So I just don't believe anything.
I mean, it certainly could be. Yeah, that's the thing about something like this. You say there's a new disease spreading. It has pneumonia-like symptoms. And then anyone who has pneumonia, at a certain point, they stop testing for the antibodies that supposedly show that you actually have the virus. And now they're literally just testing, do you display pneumonia-like symptoms? Have you been in a travel-infected area or whatever? Okay, then you've got the disease. So now people are getting diagnosed with the disease who may or may not have the disease.
Diagnosed, not with any test. The CDC just, you know, said they even kind of sort of fake and maybe have something they can send out to a couple of people. This is all BS. It's just
all BS.
It's BS on BS on BS. You know, I had Dr. Judy Mikovits on today, and her book, Plague of Corruption, is coming out next month. And her whole thing is, she goes, we predicted this. We know who, how, where. It's like, we're prophets. We have, you know, we're clairvoyant because it's so freaking obvious what they're doing. So I think this is all going to come crashing down. And one of the things is they're looking at maybe the Chinese Communist Party might, you know, have some problems. What do you think? They're solid in power, or are they precarious?
Well, I mean, things can change, especially with an event like this. As we're saying, I mean, Q1 GDP may be down to zero by the end of this. Zero growth, anyway. I mean, that's significant. That's going to have ramifications. And as I think we've pointed out before, the CCP maintains its power because it has enjoyed a couple of decades of incredible economic growth. Yeah, when that's happening, people will put up with a lot of stuff that they won't put up with when that gravy train ends. And if the gravy train is indeed ending, that's not just a health issue. It's not just an economic issue. It's a political issue for the ruling power structure.
I saw that they monetized a bunch of debt too. I mean, they're going. It's everything. It's a spiral of everything. It's like a perfect storm. It's like somebody did it on purpose, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things where it at least lines up. This doesn't prove anything, but it certainly lines up. If you wanted to do some dirty tricks on the Chinese government, then doing something like releasing a bioweapon or something would be a great way to do that. Again, that's not proof of anything, but it does line up, and it lines up with the military games that were taking place there at the end of last year. It lines up with the Event 201, where they predicted a coronavirus spreading around the world and causing all this pandemonium. It lines up with a lot of things. Again, none of that is proof, and I don't know, and neither do you.
No, hell no.
I know this was a lie.
It's so much that I don't freaking care. I just like, you know, it's like you say, it's Tuesday, you know, and it's things that we probably look at more than most people. We read a little bit. We talk to people. We know who to call. You know, we've had enough. We've done enough research ourselves, and it just smells the same as the same old crap that they've done. It's much more likely. Wait, Occam's razor? It's a lie. You know, it's just all. So I hate that. You know, I just hate defaulting to that all the time. So you got to bring it home. You know, it's always about your people, you know, close around you, family, neighbors, you know, your philosophy, kind of, you know, how are we going to be okay? Well, that's why I emphasize, take care of yourself, have a stronger immune system. And when the plague comes, you know, I sick, you know, and you're done, you know. So
this is one of the things that has really been drilled home into me over the past 13 years of doing this specifically, 14 years of looking at this information in general, and, you know, 40 plus years of being on this planet, has been the realization that so much of this hype and panic and nonsense and fear and everything they drill into you is stuff that you yourself are not experiencing. If you were just to go outside and experience the world, you wouldn't have any of these fears or concerns, because you wouldn't see any of it out in the real world. You only see it on the little goggle box that they've got your entire brain wrapped into. So maybe there are real problems that are out there in the world that we have to be aware of that we're not directly experiencing. But every once in a while, really connect with your actual real world and the people that you know to ask yourself, is this something I should be mortally afraid of given what I am experiencing in my life right now? And what can I do if I am still afraid of this thing? What can I do to protect myself and my community? That is what we should be bringing it all back down to, because the way they keep us in constant fear mode is by using the media to convince us of a reality that we are not experiencing.
You know, and what have we been seeing? You had, was it Brian Williams or something? He goes, I can't believe you're not outraged. I can't believe you're not scared. I can't believe, you know, aren't you feared enough? I mean, you know, it's just hilarious. So I choose, that's why no fear. I choose the fear is the mind killer. The fear is the thing. And probably. Right, just because I understand them enough to know I'm not afraid of them. I mean, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. And they don't see what you do, and I and a lot of people. I don't think they see you as the threat that they really should. You know, I mean, they're censoring, and of course, they want to shut you up. But they don't really understand what's coming.
Actually, this goes back to, I mean, now that I reflect on it, it's interesting. My first podcast episode of the year before any of us were talking about coronavirus was Going Viral, where I was talking about a differentiation that I was making, which I don't even know why it occurred to me, but it just occurred to me to put that message out at that exact time, that the idea of going viral online, we wanted this information to go viral and to catch on and to spread. And I said, no, that's the wrong analogy, because it goes back to the body politic, and it's likening our information to some sort of virus that will be fought off by the system, and ultimately they'll vaccinate against us or whatever. No, we don't want to go viral. We want to go embryonic. And the idea is we're creating something new, and so we're forming this new thing that's going to be birthed out into the world when it, you know, once we foster it and we bring it out there. And that's an important difference, because, a lot of information or a lot of things can go viral and will catch on very quickly. Hey, did you see the Charlie bit my finger video? I guess I'm dating myself on the internet now, but you know, whatever nonsense is going viral on
baby.
The internet at this particular moment and will be forgotten about 7 seconds from now because it doesn't mean anything and it has no value, but it's entertaining. It gets your mind. And of course that happens in the information space too. Hey, this thing that we all have to freak out about right now, the Vegas shooting is the most important thing that's ever happened in the world. And then a year later, no one even remembers it happened. So things can go viral that have no meaning whatsoever. But going embryonic is truly creating a new system. And that's something that, yeah, I think the powers that shouldn't be, they care about what's going viral, what's trending, what's the big thing that everyone's talking about at this moment that we can control everyone's mind about. But that new system, an entirely new paradigm, something that's coming along that's gestating in millions of different minds, that's going to flower in different ways at different times, it's something they can't even control in the same way. And I think that's why going embryonic is so important, because it is not the type of thing that can be co-opted or controlled. It's the type of thing that's going to happen independently in millions of different people's minds.
You know, give me a word picture for that. I mean, of course, there's planting seeds and a splinter in your mind matrix and all that kind of stuff. But embryonic means it gives a different kind of tone. Define it for us. You know, what do you mean? It's got, you know, like an embryo. Is it an egg? Is it a new DNA? Picture it in my mind.
Well, okay. I mean, I don't know how far I want to extend the.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, if it's a thing, it'll become a James Corbett thing. I just
right. Well, so let's think about it. I mean, one of the things that people said about this, or some sort of feedback I got about that, was to do with the fact that, well, if it's embryonic, then that means it's being born. It's growing inside of the system as it exists right now.
Okay.
And it has to be fostered by the system as it exists right now before it is birthed. And that's right. In fact, I think that is probably the right way to look at this, because obviously you're not going to come out with a fully fledged new system, a new order, a new way of doing everything that's going to be fully born and fully ready to go right from the get-go. No, it has to be fostered and cared for before it can be birthed out into the world. And when it is birthed out into the world, it will still need nutrition and it will need people to take care of it until it is ready to go. And that's the kind of, that's why.
As one embryo, or like, you know, a crap load of embryos.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, everyone has their own embryo, I guess.
Maybe, or maybe the same, not. A copy of the same embryo. I mean, you know, it's just a James Corbett download of IPFS file of every high school kid.
Yeah, but you see, this is why I think this is so unsatisfying for some people, because they want the instantaneous idea of this. Someone's going to come along with the idea, the system, the way of solving all these problems, and it's going to change everything overnight.
Okay, I'm going to intimate with you in the audience something. You know, this is new. It is one of the milestones, I think, in this whole thing. Last night, you know, Donna, you know, a lot of stuff's going on, you know, the news, you know, stuff's always going on. Donna was my wife, Jen, producer, and the other better half of does everything. Anybody's around here, they know she does all the work. And what happened was, we've been doing this 30 years together. And it was when Ron Paul kind of cured her apathy, you know, she really, you know, said, you know, this is a good cause, you know, she was in. And it wasn't until last night that she went on a good 5-minute rant that she almost never does. And she ticked off all the stuff that you and I would talk about and the way and how can Dandy should. And I go, is that your general public opinion? You know? And she's like, yeah, that's my opinion. And I'm going, you see, when the Shoeshine Boy is buying stock, it's time to sell. So I'm just going, it just confirmed to me that my wife, Donna, that I know so well, that just, she, you know, doesn't really have it. She knows she's doing the right thing, head down, plow, you know, kind of, honey, you take care of what. For her to come to this general opinion on her own that just articulated it so well, just, she was just angry. I'm going, oh, they're done. It's so over for the bad guys. We have reached the turning point, you know? So I'm pretty confident and optimistic, but that just means it has to get really bad. What do you think bad's going to look like?
Well, no, it doesn't. Let's not say that. It doesn't have to get very bad. It probably will. And that is the way most people will come to this information, unfortunately.
Well, a lot of people may not be that bad. You know, a lot of our friends and people, they're prepared and they're kind of not happy about it, but they're not dead, you know?
Yeah. 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 Unfortunately, most people are going to be motivated by their bottom line and when it starts to affect them. So, yes, it is going to get bad. And that's precisely the point. And as we've talked about a million times, it's the order out of chaos is the stratagem. So the chaos has to come for them to achieve their ultimate goals. And chaos could take the form of a worldwide pandemic, whatever. But that's exactly why our answer has to be the unsatisfying answer of Yeah, exactly. It's going to get bad. So we have to be, if not completely self-sufficient, no one is completely, but we have to create the communities that will get us through this. Yeah. And if we don't, that's it.
The systems are there. Everything that they promise that they're going to do either already started in the private sector anyway, and they just put a government label on it and charged you twice as much. And, you know, in the philanthropicness of anything, you know, you'll get really nice libraries. You get this cookie cutter you have to and can't crap library that you got to pay five times more than what it would cost you before. So I'm just, you know, this is, there's nothing, fire suppression, police, security, there's nothing that can't be, you know, done better and was before the government, you know, used it as an excuse, because they don't take over anything that's unpopular. Of course they want to control the water. Of course they want to control your infrastructure and your power and your roads. And of course, who will build the roads? Anybody else, you know, everybody else. It's so that they can justify their existence. So from my perspective, when this thing goes, there's going to be a lot of alternative. That cryptocurrency scared the crap out of them, I think. Or it's part of their plan. They're going to do whatever. But what they don't want is competition. They don't want anybody competing with them, and they don't get the monopoly of, we get to have a bill. What happens when you got, you know, no bill? What happens when you're out in the Lone Prairie of, if it pleases the crown, can I occupy my own land? I don't need you. Well, there's a tax thing, you know? I mean, it just goes on and on and on. The idea, government is up here. It's in our own heads. Stop, stop, stop. Yeah. But what's the transition? Just the realization that they suck. And that's what's happening in China right now. They're going, you know, you kind of suck. You kind of suck at all the stuff you say you don't suck at. You kind of suck. So
to be fair,
I
don't think that the Chinese people, I don't think this is news to the Chinese people. But again, most people will put up with almost anything as long as the gravy train is going. But when the gravy train stops, you're going to get billions of angry people.
I think what's going to happen is their social credit score thing is going to go all over the freaking place. They're going to comb through whatever data they got to go through. Everybody's going to get gigged on whatever the heck, and they're going to realize, this sucks. So then there's going to be the guys that, yeah, well, I was a good doobie during the whole time. And then there's going to be people not so much. And the not so much people will become an underground, whatever, the thorn in the side of Van, and, you know, and revolutions happen. I mean, it's always like that. Control is what the Romans taught us. Conquer is easy, control is not, you know? So if you stop trying to control, you might be able to live in your big house, you know, and just leave us alone. I don't care.
Yeah. Exactly right. And you're right. I mean, ultimately, depending how it plays out, but I mean, what you could be doing essentially is forming an underclass kind of, you know, a society that will have to band together for its own survival, and which could very well lead to bigger problems for the would-be controllers in the future.
Well, what do you think? Is there any particular system, as you were talking with all the guys and anarchists and Ron Paul and everything, and you're going, yeah, there's going to be a just something else, maybe some precious metals, maybe, you know, or it didn't even really matter, just freedom. I mean, you know, what's your solution?
Yeah, exactly. A system? Did you just say system?
Right.
I'm not here to impose any system on anyone. I don't think there's any system that's going to account for the 7.5 billion different ways that humans will interact with each other on the planet, nor should there be. No, I don't want a system. I want freedom, and I want billions of different people with billions of different, trillions of different ideas trying all sorts of different things, and I'll let the market sort it out.
I want 7 billion governments.
Yeah. I do not want a centrally imposed plan.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. I know you got, you know, your time's messed up. You got another one coming up here real quick. But I wanted to, you know, first off, give out your webpage to everybody.
CorbettReport.com. People know that by now.
CORBETT. CorbettReport.com. You know what happens? It's not even what you're my audience. It's somebody that randomly, because of the title of something they saw from the newsletter, of they went to, and they went, whoa, and then they send it out, and you're going, what the heck is this site that's pulling this in from? What? I don't even keep track anymore. I don't even look. I just let, it's like God deal with it, you know? I was like, yeah, whatever, you know? So what I want to go ahead and do is task you, you know, the next time, I'm going to be leaving on the 4th, and I won't be back till the 20th, but we'll be back east. So we'll see what we can work out, because I know we couldn't work it out when I was back there from the studio one time, and if we can, that'd be cool. So we'll work it out. But what do you think our homework should be before the next week or three that you and I get to talk? What are you keeping a tab on?
Well, I think we should brainstorm ideas for your little Liberty bus tour, or at least you should let me in on some of your ideas, and maybe I'll have some to...
Hell, whatever. Like, I was on the New American, Alex Newman today. He's big on education and homeschooling and all that kind of stuff. So, of course, he comes across a lot of, you know, vaccine people that are like, screw you, I'm not going to go to your school then, you know, not whatever. And so he's already hooking me up for Florida and a thing in St. Augustine and Jacksonville where my niece lives. We were going down there anyway. So boom, another one's added, you know. And they got the New American magazines and stuff. So they'll keep me supplied on some of the education ones I want to do on that. So yeah, I'm sure anything that James Corbett says, I will be, you know, like, you know, if you lick stamps and put them on a thing and people just want them and buy them because you lick the stamp on the card or something. I mean, you know, it would be a fundraiser. This stamp licked by James Corbett. You know, so. Whatever you want, man.
I got 1/1,000,000,000th of a taste of celebrity, you know, what it would be like to be a celebrity at Anarchapoco where everyone knew me.
I knew and that happened. Are you kidding me?
It's just a weird situation, you know, where
you never got that before?
Sorry?
You never got that before at any places you go?
I get it every time I go to a conference because, you know, a lot of people will already know me, but it's just... I don't know. I don't want to get used to that. You know,
it's not. It's good.
Like, I don't know. Do I know you?
It's good to have that intimacy with the audience. They do
it
think.
Is good to, yeah,
they
it
do
is
think
good
they
to
know you, but it's appreciation.
Just to be in that position of like. You know, I'm just a
it's appreciation. You just smile and say thank you. Because, I mean, it's and you deserve it. So I'm just glad you got to, you know, feel that. And some of the guys got to hang with you. Because I heard all about it, man. They're just, James is here. James. So, you know, I'm glad you had a good time. Hey, well, I tell you what. You know, so the next time between now and then, what we might be able to do for this tour. Because there is a lot of stuff. It's adding up. And it's just, we just got a bunch of equipment ordered today and a bunch of other. And we got the trailer coming in that we're moving everything into. And we got it. There's a lot of planning going on. But it's coming together quickly. And people have been, you know, ponying up money and time and effort. And it's going to be a thing. And if James Corbett's got something he wants to consider it freaking done. Because that's how we do it. James Corbett. CorbettReport.com. Thank you, man.
All right. See you next week.
Peace.